It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're now transitioning to coverage of the Democratic National Convention, day two, a big one that saw former President Bill Clinton talk to the stage, but much more coming down the pipe, including a roll call in which a ceremonial end where Bernie Sanders spoke to the crowd. Let's bring in Dave Lundy, one and a half, the better half of Touche. He is in Philadelphia. Dave, how did tonight's, what was the tone of day two?
Well, the tone of day two was very different than the tone of day one. First of all, the boo birds were all gone. I've been here since 4 o'clock, and I don't think I heard a single boo in the entire convention hall. So clearly, and it's not for lack of Bernie people. There were shouts of Bernie at times, but there was none of the disrespect, none of the disrespect to speakers that you saw yesterday. But for me, Justin, I have to tell you, the highlight of the day was during the call of the states, when all the states were saying, who they're voting for. There was one moment when I believe it was Arizona, and the way it worked is that, you know, you had different people announcing the Bernie votes versus the Hillary votes. Mm-hmm. And they had a 102-year-old woman who got up and announced the votes of Hillary for president. And she was incredibly moved by it. And frankly, it brought me to tears. It was the moment of the night when all of a sudden there's a recognition of, oh, my God, this is really, truly historic. No party in American history had nominated a woman for president before, and this is history in the making. So, you know, Bill Clinton was amazing, but that moment for me captured the magnitude of the evening.
Well, I mean, that was a big part of Michelle Obama's speech last night about sort of cracking through the glass ceiling. Do you feel that the Democrats are starting to embrace the idea that this is history, that this could be the first female to be president of the United States?
You know, I do, and I think that's a unifying theme, and it has historic ramifications, and obviously it has political ramifications, given the gender gap between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But I just think that, you know, frankly, Hillary has not pushed this narrative hard. She's hit it at times, but it's something that just is. And you can't ignore, you know, Donald Trump accuses her of playing the woman card. Well, she can't help the fact she is a woman. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time, so it was very exciting. But I also found it was really interesting. And forgive the noise in the background.
Oh, you're all good.
It was really interesting the role they decided that Bill Clinton should play tonight, because, you know, a lot of people were really hoping that he'd throw the red meat out into the crowd and really go after Trump, really put some context around Trump, but he played a far more valuable role, and it's one I've been wondering who was going to play it, and that is the humanizer and biographer in chief. Now, everybody's known Hillary Clinton for the last 25 years, but she's been around so long, people kind of forget who she actually is and what her history is and what her background is. So if you think about the debits and the credits of how people view her, you know, they don't know any of that history, and Bill Clinton took it upon himself to really humanize her and talk all about the challenges that she's had in her life, and the way that she has tried to, you know, make lives better for other people. And I just think he did it in a way that nobody else could do.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear the speech because we're on the air here, but I mean, that has been the role of the first lady speech at conventions in the past. We saw Melania Trump. There were hopes that she was going to do that, humanizing Donald Trump. But we've seen that in the past. We saw Michelle's great speech back in 2008. So that's kind of the role. And it's interesting, obviously, we forget that is Bill Clinton's role in this election cycle.
And that's an excellent point, and the humanizer was critical, but the biographer was also critical, and nobody was going to listen to somebody else saying, oh, Hillary Clinton was great because she helped found the children's Marion Wright Edelman's group for children, and that she did this with children, and that she did this with disabled, and really Bill delivered that. I mean, he's so compelling. He's so understated and compelling all at the same time. And the crowd was just like rapt attention.
So let's talk. I mean, obviously, that's the highlights, and we'll hear more about that speech. From your vantage point in the stadium, what were the lowlights today? I mean, was there stuff that was planned as part of day two that didn't go that well?
No. I mean, sorry, but this is not the Republican convention of 2016. This is a well orchestrated event that's designed to prosecute a number of key messages. You had a lot of time spent on 9/11, and not just on Hillary's response to 9/11, but on people who suffered through 9/11 and what they went through, and frankly how Hillary helped in very quiet ways. You had the mothers of victims of gun violence, and that was incredibly powerful. But I haven't heard of anything that didn't go off like clockwork today.
That's interesting.
This is like a well-oiled machine.
Well, I mean, you could say the same. I mean, yesterday there was hopes that it would be a well-oiled machine too, and even though Sarah Silverman pulled out improv and was able to get a line, her sort of scripted stuff with Al Franken or even Elizabeth Warren's speech, you know, the media all kind of agreed that it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. You know, moving forward, as they get back on script, the boo birds are gone. Bernie Sanders was able to help Hillary make history tonight by delivering the final vote. I mean, what's next? I mean, tomorrow's a big day for them. The president gets on stage. Is he going to be there in the room, or are they going to do a video chat with him?
You mean Barack Obama?
Yeah.
He'll be here. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Compared to, you know, the Duck Dynasty and Antonio Sabato Jr., superstars and the Trump kids, we have an embarrassment of riches in the Democratic Party, and you have so many truly compelling speakers. Barack Obama is going to be here. Joe Biden always delivers a stem winder. I would expect nothing less out of him. And then, of course, you've got your nominee and your vice presidential nominee. And I had the privilege of meeting and talking to Tim Kaine tonight. He's such a nice guy. I mean, how many people have been nominated for vice president of the United States walk up and says, "Hi, I'm Tim." I'm really looking forward to
what do we expect from his speech tomorrow? I mean, we've talked at Touche about the idea of the vice presidential candidate almost being the one that plays attack dog. Is Tim Kaine have it in him to do that? Is that going to be something tomorrow that we're going to see where he kind of goes after Donald Trump so Hillary can deliver her message without attacks?
Well, there will be some of that, but frankly, if Tim Kaine does tomorrow what he did when he was introduced last Saturday, it will be a grand slam home run. First of all, the expectations, as we talked about on Touche on Monday, the expectations were low, and he blew them all out of the water. And if he's able to do that again on tomorrow, which I have no reason to believe he won't be, I think you're going to wind up with an awful lot of doubters who are in the hall and may have wanted Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or some other candidate. An awful lot of doubters are going to walk away like, frankly, I did on Saturday and go, "Oh, my God, this guy is fantastic." And he's exactly the antidote. He is the anti-Trump. Because, you know, as Trump is all ego, this guy is, the Yiddish expression is Hamish. He's just so down to earth.
Okay,
so I expect that's going to be the highlight of tomorrow night, notwithstanding the other folks who are present.
So you're there now in Philadelphia. What happens at 11:18? I mean, does everyone get out? I mean, Alicia Keys was on stage. Does everybody just pile out back to the hotels and here come the extravagant parties like the one we heard of Rahm Emanuel throwing for this week?
Yes. I mean, what happens now? I'm locked in a bathroom to try to drown out some of the external noise here, so we could chat. But what's probably happening outside this door is everybody is fleeing to the exits to hop on the buses to have the ride back into downtown Philadelphia or wherever their hotels are, and then it's off to the parties. And I mean, there are so many parties, events that have been thrown by various people. I've been here just today, and within an hour of arrival, I've been invited to three what all sound like awesome parties, all of which are at the exact same time. So we'll see what this night will bring.
All right.
It goes late, my friend. It goes late.
Well, we'll check in with you tomorrow night and see if you're still standing. Dave Lundy, the better half of the group Touche on Monday nights here on The Download in Philadelphia for the Democratic National Convention. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Justin. Good night.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right. What a night. Democratic National Convention, day two. Another man who's standing by in Philadelphia is Ro Khan of the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes. He's been there all night covering for ABC News as well. Ro, welcome to the download. So tell me a little bit about what the tone was tonight.
Well, the tone has really shifted here, Justin, because Bernie Sanders is a distant memory now. After he, and it was very magnanimous, and it was a parliamentary trick of the light, if you will, to quote Ann Compton from ABC News. This was in his decision to come down and actually cast not just the final ballot of delegate to put her over the top or to end this convention, to end the roll call, but also to say, hey, you know, she should be the next president of the United States. So at that point, many of his followers did not actually attend today. They holed up in a tent across the street and took it hostage for a short period of time.
No.
with tape on their mouths. They just did a sit-in. Very 1960s. Big flashback moment, and I mean that in every sense of the word. And so they had, Bernie sort of didn't get discussed a whole lot tonight. Alicia Keys, no less a political sage than Alicia Keys, Justin, made her own impassioned plea tonight from the stage to say, hey, we can't let political divisions divide us. We need to put up everything behind us and move forward here. And there was rousing applause. And Bill Clinton, you know. Listen,
yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, I'll bet you Donald Trump, who, by the way, tweeted right before Bill Clinton went on the air, came onto the stage, that no matter what he does, everybody's going to say he did great. So don't believe anything you hear, okay? But the reality is that he knew that Bill Clinton was going to do very well tonight, and he knew that, and I think that Donald Trump has a little bit of a sense in his own self that he wishes he was as good on a political stage as Bill Clinton is.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he had that skill on top of it, the ability to read real like Bill Clinton does, even when we know he's not telling the truth at times, when he reads really, really real, that's something that Donald Trump can't do.
Yeah, and the emotion that he exhibits, too. Obviously, yesterday was the progressive arm of the party's day. We saw Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Tonight, Bill Clinton, who really takes the role of the First Lady's speech. What was tonight's role for the Democrats? I mean, are they distancing themselves from the progressive wing by moving forward here?
I think what they're trying to do, at least what they're saying publicly, is they're trying to wrap their arms around, you know, those who are willing to come along with them. And we talked to Chuy Garcia earlier today, and it was very interesting because, you know, Chuy Garcia has been in politics for a long time. And he's known Bernie Sanders for decades now, right? I mean, it was 10 years ago that he wrapped his arms around this whole idea of this revolution that culminated in this year's Democratic primary. But what he said is that the problem that they're seeing within the Bernie Sanders camp is that the young kids are the ones who are really disappointed here because they're not used to this is their first time out. They're not used to losing. They thought they were going to win. Pretty millennial, by the way. I just might want to point
that
out.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, for when I was young, it was Bill Clinton's, Bill Clinton's primary when my first election, then Barack Obama in 2008. They got their candidate to win. They got to go all the way to November. If you're a young kid today, your candidate loses in the primary, you can understand why they're just not familiar with the concept of just going along with something.
Well, maybe because they also all got a trophy at some point, too, but that's a separate issue.
Well, I mean, so tonight, I mean, big night. We talked with Dave London. He talked about how this really got the convention back on track tonight. There were the speeches were on time. The they were on point. They were
roughly
on message. There weren't a lot of surprises as almost like last night. So moving forward, is the Democratic National Convention, is it on point? I mean, is it starting to rev up its engine to what we're going to see in the next 2 days?
In the same way that the Republicans did in Cleveland, and we watched that transformation from day one being very clunky, day two being a little bit better, day three kind of coming together. And then, you know, like all of this is like the Super Bowl, when the candidate themselves speak, mm-hmm. it can be kind of disappointing because it can be, you know, not just counterclimactic, right? And
right.
So this is the sort of this is the sort of night that sets up very well for tomorrow night. Barack Obama is going to speak. There's going to be some other luminaries on the stage, and then it sets up. It you know, and of course the vice presidential night tomorrow night with Tim Kaine, who you know can be dynamic from the stage. He's also like Bill Clinton in the sense that he tells a narrative story like he's talking to you as opposed to speechifying at you. And then Hillary Clinton, who's the exact opposite. No matter, even if Hillary Clinton is trying to be conversational with you, she's still at a very high tone with you, and she likes, and she kind of upglides sometimes at the wrong times. The problem is, as qualified as she may well be based on her experience as a first lady and a senator and secretary of state and everything else that you can imagine, the reality is she doesn't have great stage technique as a politician. And that's something that you know continues to, I think, hurt her.
I think at some point or another, I mean, she'll be compared to us on the other side of the aisle, and that probably makes her better in terms of the fact that she's done this for so many years, where maybe Donald Trump hasn't. As we move forward, the one thing I saw last night with Michelle Obama's speech, and she talked about cracking the glass ceiling. Tonight, the news really going with this historic moment that this is the first woman to be nominated for presidential candidate. Do you see the Democratic Party running with that angle, running with the idea of making history and Hillary Clinton embracing that?
I do, but I also think that it's not a good strategy because she's so well known. I think that Hillary Clinton, it's not as though this is somebody who's coming sort of out of the blue like Barack Obama did in 2008 to people, and he was going to be the first African-American, and he's in this good-looking, young-seeming guy who's just, you know, he's glib, he's funny, he's cool, he's hip, he plays basketball, right? He's like, he represented, you know, this youthful kind of thing. It was, you know, he was Black Kennedy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton is really, really well-known. And I think that's a bigger problem. She's also 70 years old. She doesn't necessarily represent a brand new set of ideas. I think if Elizabeth Banks were running for president, she'd win hands down. She was out here all night tonight, and I think America might go for her pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
I might vote for her. She's,
yeah, that'd be
she's
all right.
Funny.
So I know that that's part of the strategy here. I'm not sure it's going to be as effective as they want it to be. And again, you know, I got to just remind you that as great as Bill Clinton is, and he's the great seducer too, right? I mean, that's politics is seduction, and he couldn't be better at it. And he did it tonight, and he did it about his wife, and it made everybody, I think, in this room feel better about her. But Donald Trump is going to get on Twitter. If he hasn't already, I haven't looked yet. I'm afraid to look. He's going to do his interview with Sean Hannity, undoubtedly. He's going to you know, by midnight tonight, the narrative will have been changed, and the shine will be off of this Bill Clinton speech tonight. And by tomorrow morning, they'll be dealing with something, you know, totally different.
Yeah. Roe, is Philadelphia treating you well?
You know, I got to tell you something. You know me, Justin. I, as you know about the show, the afternoon show on WGN, we like to go out and party a lot. A lot.
You said it.
We do. We take the people, you know, as the four of us and then the six of us with our producers or the eight of us or the 12 of us or whatever it happens to be. You know, when we're out there, we like to have a good time. And here at this convention, they're making me work. And I don't
like it.
I don't like work. So we're going to an ABC party after this, because what has happened now that this is all done, we have to go back to – we're going to the ABC encampment. And apparently there was a raging party that Jeff and I missed by being across the street from it last night.
Oh,
so we're going to throw ourselves into that tonight.
Yeah,
and by the time we get there, they'll move on to somewhere else. So that is our greatest fear.
That's what you're going to have to work with. Rokan, of course, you can hear him with the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes every afternoon. He'll be in Philadelphia tomorrow and Thursday. Ro, thanks for checking in tonight. Thanks for your insights, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, Justin.